to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and in today's podcast I've got a great interview for you with Dan Allen Smith, the Savvy Book Marketer, and we discuss how to get book reviews, which I have personally found to be the most critical thing for book sales, certainly online book sales. So the launch process is one thing, but the reviews sustain sales over time and affect the Amazon algorithms and all that type of thing. So this is a really important thing if you haven't considered reviews yet. Word of mouth can just keep on rolling if you keep on getting reviews, and it's something I focus on a lot. Also on other news, this last week, beginning of September, I announced on the blog that I have resigned my day job as an IT consultant to go full-time as an author entrepreneur. So there were obviously some sleepless nights over that, and I was pretty scared actually about doing that. I've had a very good steady income for a lot of years doing IT in the day job, but I just getting to the point where my creative head is just not standing it anymore. So I'm basically almost finished, just have a little bit to finish up, but I'm writing Prophecy, the sequel to Pentecost. I'm currently about 40,000 words in and writing at least 2,000 words a day on that, as well as expanding the Creative Pen to be more of a entrepreneurial site, I guess. So I'm going to have more products to sell, more mini courses. I'm doing free webinars every month and also paid webinars. There is a one on blogging next week, which is already full up. But in October, I'll do one on social networking. Also got a paid one with Alan Baxter on writing fight scenes. That will be $20, and you can submit writing to be critiqued. So all the webinar details, whenever you're listening to this, there will be webinars every month, so you can always join in a free or a paid one depending on what your interest is. All the details are at thecreativepen.com/webinar, webinar. And if you've never been to a webinar before, they're basically, at the appointed time, you sign up, you get a link, you click on the link and you can see slides online, hear the discussion, you can also ask questions live. And most often, certainly with all mine, you will get a recording afterwards, so you can, hear what we discussed. What else? I have built a new blog for my fiction fans at joannapenn.com. So if you enjoyed Pentecost, please consider coming along and signing up there to get my more personal fiction related information. The Creative Pen, is entirely focused on writers and authors, but Joanna Penn will be more about, my influences for my fiction writing. Because I've really found you do need to build a different audience for that. I'm also reworking some of my Author 2.0 modules, and also will be re-releasing some of them as mini courses. So social networking is coming up. I'll also be doing how to launch your book online, based on my own lessons learned from Pentecost. That's exciting. I'm also now working with a partner, Simon Cheshire, who's an author and also, a bit of an ebook formatting geek. And so we're now doing ebook formatting in Kindle and EPUB formats. And you can find out more about that at thecreativepen.com/store. So there is lots going on. It's a very exciting time. I hope some of that is interesting for you. I really do want to serve the writing community more and provide you with interesting and useful information. So hopefully that will be helpful. And obviously from personally trying to focus on building my fiction backlist so I can grow that as a career. Okay, so let's get on with the interview with Dan Allen Smith. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and today I'm interviewing Dana Lynn Smith, the Savvy Book Marketer. Dana has 16 years of publishing experience and a degree in marketing. She helps authors and indie publishers learn how to sell more books through her how-to guides, her blog, newsletter, and private coaching. Dana is also the author of several book marketing guides, including How to Get Your Book Reviewed, which I personally believe is one of the most critical things you need for book sales, and that's what we're talking about today. So welcome, Dana.
Well, thank you, Joanna. I really appreciate you hosting me today on your podcast.
No worries. And as I said, this is such an important topic, and I have so many questions from your book, so we'll try and get through as much as possible today. So why don't we start, by maybe telling us a bit more about how do people find books to read these days? I mean, we're talking about book reviews, but is it really true that they're important? You know, how do book reviews fit into the way people find books?
Well, I believe that book reviews are really important in not only helping people discover books, but also helping them to decide if the book is a good fit for them. And, of course, people find out about books in a lot of different ways. They still find books in the traditional ways, like browsing in bookstores, reading bestseller lists, hearing recommendations from their friends. And there are also reviews in traditional media like newspapers and magazines. But these days, more and more people find books online. And that's especially true of ebooks. And of course, book reviews are a very important part of discovering books online. And the fact is, the more places that your book gets reviewed or mentioned online, the more opportunity you have for people to discover it. And there are lots of places that book reviews are found online. There are a number of blogs and websites that are exclusively devoted to book reviews, and that's a wonderful place to find books. With nonfiction books, reviews often appear on blogs that are devoted to the topic of the book. And then, of course, there's all kinds of reviews and recommendations from readers that you can find on social networks like Goodreads and Facebook. And then another thing that's really important is the online bookstores. People find books by doing searches in online bookstores, and then the reviews that are on those book pages have a lot of influence on people's shopping.
Absolutely. And I personally was, you know, wondering about the difference between a professional review, you know, like I still read a newspaper here in England, a physical one, and also book bloggers and other normal people, reviewers on Amazon and things. Is there any difference between those types of reviews, you know, professional ones versus normal ones?
Yes, there usually are some differences. And of course, both types of reviews are important. But the traditional, what are called critical reviews, tend to be from professional reviewers. And often they will include an overview of what the book is about, and they'll talk about what the reviewer liked and also what they didn't like about the book. And some of them discuss things like the literary merit of the book. But on the consumer reviews that come from readers, you find those in places like Amazon and Goodreads. They tend to be more informal, usually shorter, and a lot of them are really testimonials rather than reviews. They're often, you know, one or two sentences where the person is just recommending the book, saying, you know, loved this book, couldn't put it down, great read, highly recommended, things like that, which is really more of a testimonial than a review. But those reviews and testimonials that you find in online bookstores like Amazon, they really are important because they help the shopper decide if the book is a good fit for them, and they help them decide between competing books. And that is especially important for nonfiction books because with nonfiction, people are quite often comparing more than one book on the particular topic. And, you know, Amazon actually encourages that because they list competing books right there on your book page. So those reviews, you know, help the shopper decide which book to choose. And in my book, How to Get Your Book Reviewed, I actually cited a study that was done by the Yale School of Management. And they did a research project on this. And they did come to the conclusion that Reviews on Amazon not only increase the sales of individual specific books, but that they also increase the total sales on the site.
And I mean, I can say personally, you know, with my book Pentecost, the number of reviews has, you know, it seems to have really helped the Amazon algorithms. And of course, we don't know really how they work, but it seems right. that the more good reviews you get, or perhaps even just the number of reviews in general, seems to affect mm-hmm. the sales.
I believe it does. And I've read that in several places. You know, when people search on Amazon, their algorithm seems to take into account how many books have already been sold, and how many reviews it has, in addition to how well it matches the search terms.
Absolutely. And it was when you were talking there, it sort of reminded me of the sort of marketing adage of AIDA, attention, interest, desire, action, which is kind of the path we take people down. And what you're saying is, even, you know, someone might find us on Twitter, click through, look at our book, that's the initial sort of attention, but they will make a decision to buy the book based on whether or not it's a good fit for them. That's kind of what you're saying, isn't it?
Right. And reviews are one of the ways that people, you know, decide if the book is a good fit.
No, absolutely. Okay, so in terms of actually, you know, going about getting reviews, I mean, obviously people can send out their book. Now, should people these days still consider sending out physical copies? I mean, this costs money and time. You know, what are your recommendations around that?
Well, the costs certainly can add up. You not only have to pay for the book, but you have to pay the postage and packaging and so forth. And of course, if you're shipping internationally, that could get very expensive. But really, it depends on who you're sending it to. You need to, first of all, check the submission requirements of the reviewer to see what formats they accept. For example, the traditional book review journals, I believe them still require a printed book. There are a number of reviewers who accept an ebook in PDF, Kindle, or EPUB, and especially for fiction, a lot of reviewers actually prefer to read on their Kindle, so they're fine with getting a Kindle book. But if you aren't sure, if you can't tell from looking at their website or so forth, one thing you can do is email them the ebook, and then you can put a note in there, you know, offering to send the printed book if they need to have it in that format. But just one caveat to that, for your most important reviewers, for instance, if you're trying to get a review from a high-profile reviewer or endorsement or something like that, it is probably a good idea to send the printed book because it just makes a bigger impression. It's a lot harder to ignore a package with a book in it than an email.
No, absolutely. And I mean, I have a book review blog now called mysterythriller.tv, and it's, you know, a video review blog for people who like mysteries and thrillers. And mm-hmm. I mean, I get pitches all the time that are quite inappropriate.
Yes.
Have you got any sort of tips on sort of pitching etiquette, how to, you know, specifically target the people you're sending things to?
Well, it is important, first of all, to read the submission instructions. You know, it's amazing how many people will just send out review copies without taking the time to figure out if it fits the requirements of the reviewer. And most reviewers, either publications or blogs or websites that review books on a regular basis, they will post their submission requirements right on their website, and they will tell, you know, what kind of books they review, what formats they accept, whether the book, you know, has to come before publication or after publication and so forth. And it's very frustrating for reviewers to get books that don't even fit their requirements because it's just, you know, it's a waste of their time and it's a waste of the author's money, of course. So do find out if the book is a good fit for the reviewer first. And of course, your book is going to be competing with lots of other books. And the books that are professionally produced with a good cover, they're well written, they're well edited, those are the ones that are going to get chosen out of the pile to get reviews. I think another common mistake is not sending good information with the book. You need a press release or at least some kind of marketing materials to go with the book. And, of course, make sure your contact information is really easy to find. Do everything you can to make it easy for the reviewer to work with you and to review your book. And I think one other mistake that sometimes people make is being a little too pushy or aggressive. You know, that can annoy the reviewer. And it's important to remember the reviewer is doing you a favor, and you need to be gracious and respectful in all of your communications with them.
Mm, absolutely. And I also personally, if the book cover isn't impressive, as in if it looks a bit shoddy, because of course I'm a fan of indie authors, I think self-publishing is great, but if I get a pitch from somebody and their book cover is just not good enough, I'm not going to put it on my blog, because I think visuals are really important. So what do you think about that?
Absolutely. Covers are critically important for all of your audiences, you know, the consumers that you're trying to sell the book to reviewers, to bookstores, to libraries. Everyone is going to look at the cover first. That's the first thing they see. It's the first impression. And, you know, it gives a sense of how good the book is. You know, a shoddy looking cover kind of gives the impression that the inside of the book probably isn't well done either. So it just makes a negative impression.
Mm, no, definitely. Okay, so I mean, obviously with my my book review blog, Mystery Thriller TV, it's kind of obvious what I review. But there are lots of book bloggers out there who have these review sites, and it can be quite hard to actually find them. How do you suggest that people find people to submit books to?
Well, in terms of the blogs, there are thousands and thousands of blogs out there that specifically review books. And most of those book blogs review fiction. So this is one area where, you know, novelists have a little bit of an edge over the nonfiction folks. But there are several ways to find those blogs. One thing that I recommend is look at where your competitors are getting reviews. You can check their website and their Amazon page and, you know, get a feel for where books similar to yours are getting reviews. So that can be a big help. And then, of course, you research on Google, which can be fairly time consuming, but you go in and search for book blogs, and for fiction, for genre fiction, you would want to start out by looking for blogs that are specific to your type of book, like a mystery thriller or science fiction, so forth. Another thing you can do is each blog that you visit, look over in the sidebar and look for their blog role or their list of links, because quite often they will have links to a bunch of other similar blogs. So that's another path you can go down. There are so many of them out there, and you'll probably come up with quite a large list. Now, I actually, in my book, I have a list of several websites that have lists of book blogs. So that can cut down on your research time some. And another thing is, once you've come up with this list of potentials, you do need to narrow it down, of course. And what I recommend is the easiest way to estimate how much traffic these blogs get is to use a website called Alexa.com. If you go to Alexa, Alexa.com, and click on site info, you can put in the URL of each blog and it will give you a ranking. And, you know, it's not exact by any means, but it will give you an idea of how, you know, one blog compares to another blog in terms of how much traffic they get. The lower the number, the better.
Hmm. Yeah, because you do find that there are quite a lot of, you know, blogs out there who might not have any audience at all. And sometimes, you know, you feel a bit mean, I suppose, but you have to be a bit ruthless, don't you, with what time you spend doing this type of thing.
Well, yes, and you know, ideally you want to find the blogs that are the perfect fit. They're targeted to your particular kind of book and they have lots of traffic. But the fact is, those blogs are going to have more competition. They're going to get more review copies. So you're going to have perhaps a lower percentage chance of having your book selected out of the piles of books that they receive. So it's not necessarily a bad thing to submit to some lower traffic blogs as well, because even the lower traffic blogs might get you a review onto Amazon, because a lot of these reviewers go ahead and post all their reviews on Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. And I do that too. Whenever I post a review on Mystery Thriller TV, it also goes on Amazon, Goodreads, and Shelfari as well. So right. What do you think about those sites and about what an author should do in terms of networking on those sites? I mean, on Goodreads and Shelfari.
Right. Goodreads. I believe Goodreads is the largest library thing, is the second largest, at least in the U.S., and Shelfari is another good one. There, I actually did a whole chapter in my book about this. There's a number of smaller ones, too, and some of them are devoted to particular types of books. Like, there's one called Jacket Flap that is devoted to children's books. So there are a lot of them out there, and they are a really good opportunity for authors to network with readers. And in fact, Goodreads and Library Thing also have a program where authors can give away review copies of their book. And that is a great program. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I've done that. It works really well. And I guess my thinking was, when I was bringing up Pentecost, was I want to get some attention from readers. So a way to do that is by writing reviews myself. And I also think maybe there's some review karma going on in some way. Do you actually think that authors should be reviewing books themselves?
Absolutely. It's a great way to get your name out there. Of course, your name is and a link to your book, depending on where it is going to be on the review. If you do reviews on Amazon, you can't actually link to your book, but you can find subtle ways to mention it. For instance, you could write a review and say, as an author of thrillers myself, I really enjoyed the way that the author developed the plot, you know, et cetera. You can list your book title in your signature. Some people frown on that. Some people think it's okay. So that's a little bit of a gray area. But doing reviews is a really good way to help develop your, brand recognition, you know, your name recognition and so forth. And of course, you're helping out other authors, like you said, and it's good karma. You help other people out, they help you out, and it helps everyone.
And also, I found, recently there've been a few of us. Well, I've people have emailed me and say, "Hey, I think you might like my book. How about we do a swap and we both do a review?" And I always say, you know, I'm happy to swap, but let's just be honest. If you don't like my book or I don't like your book, we don't have to write a review. So that's okay, isn't it, to say that?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, because you don't want people to feel, you know, obligated to have to do it and so forth. So I like that approach. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's also important, because what you actually don't want people who don't like your book reviewing it.
No, and definitely not.
I actually made this mistake with Pentecost, and I will not make it again, because obviously on the Creative Pen I have an audience of writers who write different things, who like different genres, and I actually put out on my list, I said, does anyone want a copy of Pentecost to read, and if you like it, please write a review, and I sent that out to the Creative Pen list. Now, I realised later, after some people absolutely hated it, you know, a lot of people love it, but I had targeted the wrong list. this is not a targeted list for people who like my type of action adventure, you know, thriller fiction. So, right. You know, but marketing 101 says build a list. So how can authors use their existing fan base to boost review numbers?
Well, in a lot of cases, the list is more targeted. Your situation is a little bit different because your blog is aimed at writers and authors, whereas your this particular book is a work of fiction. So yeah, it is a little bit different, but in a lot of cases, your fan base is the perfect match for the type of book that you write. For instance, in my case, my blog is about book marketing and my books are about book marketing. So it is a good fit. And I think one of the things that you can do is you can invite your followers on your blog, your newsletter, and your social networks to give you feedback. You can post things like, you know, if you've read my book, I'd really appreciate hearing what you think of it. Or if you have a chance, please post a review on Amazon. So those are kind of subtle ways that you can invite people to go ahead and post reviews. And you can even offer review copies. I did that with this book, How to Get Your Book Reviewed. I put a notice in my newsletter saying that I was going to give away 20 review copies, and I had, you know, hundreds of people sign up to win one of those 20 review copies. So that's another thing that you can do. And one thing that sometimes authors overlook, anytime you get a nice note about your book, you'll get emails from people saying, "Oh, I really loved your book," or, you know, it really helped me with this particular thing. Always invite those people to do a review on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or someplace. You know, write them back a nice thank you note and say, you know, I'd really appreciate it if you could take just a moment to put your comments into Amazon and make it easy for them. Send them a link right to the page where they can do that for you. And in the Kindle book, you can even put a note on the last page of your book asking people to do a review on Amazon, and they can do it right from their Kindle without even going to their computer.
Yeah, no, that's a really good tip. And it is much easier now, I think, for people to do that. I do have, you just sparked another question there. I'm doing really well with my reviews on Amazon. I've got over 50 now on Pentecost. But on BarnesandNoble.com, I think I've got one. why is that? And, you know, is there a different way to get reviews on different sites? Or is it because that I've primarily just targeted Amazon?
Well, no, it's because everyone shops on Amazon, to be quite frank. You know, we talk about Amazon all the time, and I am guilty of this too. And, you know, we keep saying Amazon and we sort of ignore poor Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble does have a lot of traffic, and they, particularly for the Nook, they are getting some good traction with their Nook ebook reader. But the fact is, the majority of book sales come from Amazon as compared to Barnes & Noble. But one thing you can do is, for instance, when you're sending out requests asking people to post a review on Amazon, also list Barnes & Noble. You can say, you know, I'd really appreciate it if you would post a review on Amazon. Here's the link. And if you shop on Barnes & Noble, here is the link to my Barnes & Noble page. So give them both links. And some people have an account on both of them. In fact, several years ago, I actually opened an account on Barnes & Noble. I bought one book there just so I would have an account on that site so that I can post reviews there.
No, exactly. And but for those of us independent authors outside America, we can't even publish direct onto the Nook. We all have to go through Smashwords. So it's one of those sites that I'm not particularly enamored of because they just don't make it easy for us. You know, to do, I don't have any real control over what my Barnes & Noble Nook page does or what my book does there. So I guess I'm a real Amazon fan because I can control that. I guess one of the other things I wanted to say was, and I got this from Carolyn McRae, who wrote 30 Pieces of Silver, which is an excellent book. She wrote an article about putting the best of your review comments into your product description on Amazon so that it's people see it as they scroll down before they get to the reviews. What do you think about that?
Well, I have actually done that myself, and I do think it's a good idea. Now, one little caveat, a few weeks ago, I was on the Amazon site looking at something, and I found a page somewhere that says that you can't put reviews into your book description. But I see it all the time, and, you know, apparently Amazon's not checking on that. But technically, apparently, they don't allow that. But particularly for reviews that have appeared elsewhere, you know, that are not on the Amazon site, that's a great way to get those reviews highlighted. Endorsement quotes, reviews that appeared in publications, emails that people sent you, and so forth. I do think it's a good idea.
Mm. Oh, well, that's interesting. I mean, you'd think Amazon would want more sales. So, you know, what works for increasing sales is a good thing from everyone's perspective.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand why they would want to discourage the reviews. Maybe they don't want it to be repetitive, you know, having you copying the same reviews that are down farther on the page. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I must say, I just used some, you know, sentences. I didn't use whole reviews, just little clippets that, you know, make it sound, you know, good. Okay, so let's talk about what when it goes a bit wrong. You know, we're now getting reviews on Amazon, and some of them are 5-star and they're brilliant, and then there are some 1-star reviews and some quite negative comments. And in fact, you can even get negative remarks in a 4- or 5-star review, which I always find to be sort of a sort of backstabbing compliment. So how do we cope with these sort of negative reviews, and you know, should we be reacting to them?
Well, it is very upsetting, especially the first time it happens. And, you know, first of all, just take a deep breath and try not to let it upset you. Try not to take it personally. We pour our hearts into our books, and it's very hurtful when people say bad things about them. But it does happen to all books, really. And, you know, think about people have different opinions, especially for fiction. People have different tastes in the types of books they like to read. And there are even some people who let their own personal agenda influence what they say. There are people who post ugly reviews about competing books, which is highly unethical. So just take that all with a grain of salt. On the other hand, I think it's a good idea to consider the reviews like a critique. You know, the reviewer may make a legitimate comment that can help you improve your writing or improve your books. So there can be some value in that. And, you know, another thing to remember is that lots of best-selling books have negative reviews, and some of them have a lot of negative reviews, and they still sell, you know, millions of books. So it's not necessarily going to hurt your book sales. Of course, if all of your reviews are negative, that would be a bad thing. But if you have mostly positive reviews and you have some negative ones, it kind of balances out. It makes the reviews look more genuine to the shoppers, to the fact that they're not all 5-star glowing reviews. One thing to consider is if the review is really bad, you might think about whether it violates the policies on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Both sites do have a list of review policies, and there's a link to them right there in your review section. So you might want to check the review policies and see if the review has done something to violate the policies. And if it did, you can click a button and request to have it removed. So, you know, I would say just try not to let it upset you too much. And of course, just let it motivate you to go out and get more good reviews.
Mm. Yes. And of course, we shouldn't be attacking people in public, you know, on Twitter. There've been a couple of authors who have sort of blown their reputations out of the water with attacks on book bloggers and things like that, haven't there? And, you know, that just is a no-no. Whatever happens, if you make attention, it will be all for the wrong reasons.
Exactly. You need to be very careful that you don't, you know, publicly or privately react to the reviewer in an unprofessional way. And I read a book, I think it's called The Slippery Art of Reviewing, can't remember the exact title, that was written by a book reviewer about doing book reviews. And she said that some of these reviewers actually get threatened by authors who are upset about a review they've been, you know, written. They'll write them nasty letters. They'll threaten them. You know, that's just kind of unbelievable. But that does happen.
And it is funny. I must say, on my my review site, I say my policy is to only review books that I like. You know, I was always told by my mum, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all.
Exactly.
I just won't review a book I don't like. In fact, I generally stop reading books I don't like. So, you know, you could kind of take it that way in terms of reviewing books yourself. And I think, you know, just to go back with what I was saying about sending it to your list, what I've actually done with my next book, Prophecy, is I put a link at the end of the first book, Pentecost, that says, if you liked Pentecost, sign up for Prophecy here. So I now have a list that grows every day of people who have specifically signed up that they liked it. So I will source reviewers from that list next time. So that, I think that's a good tip to people with, you know, fiction or nonfiction books.
That is a great idea. Yes, I like that.
Yeah, it certainly means they're targeted. And I mean, I also, you know, I was thinking about this in terms of the numbers and giving away free copies. I think it might be worth giving away books to everyone on that list because they are probably, you know, a tenth or a hundredth of the number of people, hopefully thousandth of the number of people who will actually buy the book. And if you got that many positive reviews, that's got to make a difference to sales, don't you think?
I do think so. And, you know, depending on how big the numbers are, a lot of authors are afraid of giving away free copies of the book because they think it will hurt their sales. But, you know, in many cases, it really does help your sales because you're building a large group of fans who are going to go out and share your book with other people. They're going to recommend it to their friends. They're going to post reviews and so forth.
Yeah, and I would say that as well. I mean, you know, some people might think, oh, goodness, but that's 300 sales that you won't make, as in money. But, you know, I've really seen my numbers change with the number of reviews and the sales figures. And if you think that you can sell, you know, 20,000 with 300 good reviews, that's got to make a difference.
Yes. And another thing to consider, if your book is available in both print and ebook format, for instance, if you send out a lot of ebook copies, sometimes those people will actually buy the print copy as well. Particularly if, you know, like if you're sending out PDF review copies, you know, people will buy the print book to read.
Mm. No, definitely. I have actually done that. I really only buy print books now if I enjoyed the ebook so much I want it in print, and that's generally for nonfiction. You know, that I want to actually keep to remind myself to look at it again. But okay, so we've gone through so much stuff today, but you know, I know your book is full of loads more information. So where can people find you and your books?
Well, my new book, which is How to Get Your Book Reviewed, is available at getbookreviews.net, and it is it's a PDF ebook. I've got several bonuses that come with it, but I've also just published it in paperback, and it's also available on Kindle and Nook. So there are links to all of those formats there. I do have several other book marketing guides. I have a guide on selling to libraries, selling on Amazon, and promoting through Facebook and Twitter. And those books are at savvybookmarketer.com. And then I have some free ebooks available through my blog, which is at thesavvybookmarketer.com.
Fantastic. Well, thanks ever so much for your time, Dana. That was great.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Joanna.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time.